intention, interior trucking companies. If you are relying on facility insurance, you could be overpaying. Reduce your insurance cost by $10,000 or more per truck. And good news, we accept drivers with only 1 year of experience. To learn more, just send us text by typing insurance to 365-364-0714. Thank you.
Welcome to a very exciting podcast today. And I say that, and I know, yeah, here's another intro. He's trying to get us hooked. Of course I am, but today's episode is what I believe to be extremely important. For those of you who know me, you know that I take truck driver health and truck driver mental health very seriously. And today I'm really excited to have Daphne Montgomery from Sleep Smart, because Daphne is going to be discussing today a health issue that is probably close to being a pandemic in the trucking industry. So with that, let's bring Daphne on in what I believe to be one of the most important episodes ever of the Trucking Risk and Insurance Podcast. Stay with us.
Welcome to the Trucking Risk and Insurance Podcast.
Hi, Daphne. Welcome to the podcast with Chris and I. Give us a little bit about yourself and Sleep Smart, if you would, please.
Sure. Great. Thank you to the two of you for having me on today. I am an individual that has, until I joined Sleep Smart, which is a really exciting company, and the program we have is one of a kind in Canada, and I'm so excited to be a part of this team. My background is all in transportation, logistics, supply chain. That's where I spent my career. So when this opportunity came up, it was, again, really exciting because it's filling a gap that exists in the transportation industry today. And it is a health and wellness program that what helps to reinforce the continuous improvement within a safety culture of an organization. And yeah, and as I've said repeatedly, I'm excited to be here today and talk about our program.
Cool. Yeah,
I think it's hugely exciting. So as we get going today, our listeners and viewers may find out some personal information about me, Chris Harris, and it is my choice to release this information. And Daphne has access to it because I have participated in the Sleep Smart program. And so I've given her permission. Anything that she says, this isn't normal, is basically is what I'm saying, that they would release this and talk about individuals over the air like this. But yeah, we have it all covered, and I've given my permission because I do have in the past been diagnosed with sleep apnea. Tell us, Daphne, what is sleep apnea?
Sure. So sleep apnea occurs when an individual is supposed to be sleeping, and it's the complete closure of the airway. So what happens in an individual when this is happening? Their brain senses that there's no blood flow, henceforth no oxygen is getting to the brain, and the brain essentially sends a shock to your heart to wake your body up so that your heart will start pumping again, is the shortened clinical, kind of not so clinical description of what happens.
Is snoring a symptom of sleep apnea?
Yes, it is absolutely one of the most common symptoms of sleep apnea.
I'm just wanting to clear a couple of things, because every now and then my airway gets blocked, and it usually happens shortly after I start snoring. And I just wondered if this was true sleep apnea, because my wife usually is the one that is restricting the airflow by putting her hands around my neck and going, "Will you shut up for Christ?" So I just wondered if her putting her hands around my throat would be a form of sleep apnea.
I can't speak to that. Yes, when your airway closes, that is considered sleep apnea. Yeah. So depending on the individual and the severity level of their sleep apnea, this can happen hundreds of times throughout the night. Yeah, so you've already mentioned one of the most common symptoms, which is snoring. But other common symptoms would include daytime drowsiness, morning headaches because of the blocks for the amount of oxygen that was going to your brain. Those are a couple other very common symptoms.
I actually heard of some people, I don't want to say in driving careers and whatnot, but other people, of nodding off. And they say they got a good night's sleep, but it's evident they didn't. And in further studies that they went through, they found out that they had a form of sleep apnea or a sleep disorder and whatnot, which was causing them to nod off at the controls when you would think most people would be quite alert for that.
Right. And that is the biggest challenge, particularly from a safety perspective, not only of the individual, but when we think of professional drivers, they spend a significant amount of time on the road comparative to those of us that have positions that we're in an office more regularly and that sort of thing. So yeah, drivers untreated and undiagnosed sleep apnea, they are in collisions at the rate of 5 times an individual that either doesn't have it, so a control, or somebody that has it and is being treated for their sleep apnea.
Can you? Yes,
5 times the crash rate.
Yeah. Can you speak to some of the ways that you can trigger sleep apnea? Because specifically, I'm thinking back in my insurance days when I was about 25 pounds heavier, I could not drive from Windsor to Toronto after seeing a client without pulling over and having a little nap for 20 minutes because I literally I was doing the head bobs. The, holy shit, I can't make it. What are, so I know obesity is one. And what are some of the other?
BMI definitely is a contributor, but it doesn't tend to be the only contributor. So 1 in 4 Canadian adults has sleep apnea. And of the 1 in 4, approximately 80% of those individuals are undiagnosed.
Wow. So hold it. Repeat that. What's the percentage of people that have sleep apnea that is undiagnosed?
Yeah. So approximately 1 in 4 individuals, Canadian adults, has sleep apnea. And of those, about 80% are undiagnosed.
Wow. So that's a few million people walking around coma.
Yeah. Yes.
Is there any stats or data on whether that mix would be more males versus females or females more than males or anything like that?
So there is research. So it definitely tends to afflict males more regularly than females. But that being said, there's absolutely females that are afflicted.
Yeah. I've met a few. Yeah. And interesting enough, one of the things, like, I agree with what you were saying earlier, that BMI can be one of the calculations and whatnot, but it's not the end all be all because I've seen people who are as skinny as my finger who have had a sleep disorder of some sort. And they go, you're not fat.
Yeah.
People contribute it to being overweight when that's not necessarily it at all.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. Like I said, BMI can be a contributing factor, but it is typically not the only factor that is contributing. So when we talk about your airway completely closing, if you think about it, as we age, just even the tautness in our muscles changes, right? It's not quite as firm as when we were 20. Our throat muscles, those are factors that contribute as well.
So you're saying people, so far I've heard men more than women significantly, and older men more than older women significantly. And Johnny, what are we describing here? We're describing old truck people. Drivers, predominantly male, about 95% are male.
I didn't say 95% male, sir. Well, I said
you misunderstand. In our industry, truck drivers are about 95%.
Yeah.
Sorry, male truck drivers are about 95%.
Yep, about 5%.
And the average age is pushing 50 or 55. Yeah. I forget the stat. Yeah. So you're saying obesity and age contribute, and it's a male problem largely. And I'm saying you just described the truck drivers in our world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it definitely is middle age for sure. And the rate for men compared to women is about 25% men. Nine-ish. So talking on a population as a whole, about 9% for women. Well, versus
this is why I'm so excited that Sleep Smart has done what they have done, because our industry, truck drivers, we are ripe for sleep apnea, many of us anyways, because of the sedentary job, they are often overweight. We are certainly, the average age is way beyond 45, certainly pushing 50 or 55 for the average age. So if we're male and we're overweight and we're older, my God, that's many of the possible contributing factors to having sleep apnea.
And I'm going to throw in there a little bit more. We have a lot of new drivers coming into the industry that don't understand the lifestyle. And if you're not understanding the lifestyle properly and managing your time to make sure you stay well rested, you're going to have a hard time managing the sleep disorder or fatigue issues at large.
Absolutely. Yeah. For a fatigue management and mitigation perspective, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we talked about the persons that are affected. And again, 80% of those are undiagnosed. We talked about the increase in crash rate, but I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about some really important information, specifically to an individual and what the impacts in their body physiologically could be when they have undiagnosed sleep apnea.
And
so some of the numbers that I'm going to say are kind of shocking, but individuals have a 3.7 time risk of stroke.
Wow.
So significantly higher risk of stroke.
Yeah.
Significant. Yeah, absolutely.
Next
so
one.
When you think about that. So a lot of cardiovascular morbidities exist. So increased blood pressure, a higher chance of having diabetes, all of those fall into the cardiovascular incidences that occur when an individual has untreated sleep apnea, definitely. When you mentioned your wife not being happy about your snoring, John. So then you mentioned, yes, that snoring is the most common symptom. That being said, there are occasional persons that don't snore that have sleep apnea, but it's definitely not the norm to speak. So interestingly enough, it's typically a bed partner that starts the process for an individual to go down a path of finding out, I can't sleep, something is wrong with you, you need to go to the doctor. So individuals with sleep apnea, 3 times as likely to sleep apart from their partner. And ironically, the divorce rate is exactly the same. It's 3 times as high.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
A lot of truck drivers are already sleeping separate from their partner because doing long haul, they only get home a few times a week or hopefully a few times a week. Yeah. And so that could prolong the encouragement to go get tested with truck drivers. Because honestly, when I didn't know I had sleep apnea, I was a safety guy and I recognized all the signs in myself. That's when I went and got tested and I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. But I did it the old-fashioned way. We're going to get into that in a minute. I want to ask you one more question about the psychological impacts of all this. What happens?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're huge. Mental health is a huge symptom of untreated, undiagnosed sleep apnea. If we go back to even thinking about ourselves, so if you have a night or two where you haven't slept properly, you're not your normal high-functioning self. Think about it. It could have been last night. And with this information that you've been provided, Chris, and your family, I'm sure that's causing you to not sleep. If we think about that, after a couple of days, how are we? We're irritable. We're clumsy. Our cognitive abilities are impacted. And then as that prolongs, so more than a night or two or a week, when we start moving into the more medium-term risks, so this is weeks and months of individuals not having proper quality and quantity of sleep. Again, we're moving into some of those cardiovascular issues that we talked about, high blood pressure, diabetes, risk of stroke, risk of cancer as well is significantly increased. And then when we go into the long-term, so prolonged, so months and years of individuals not having proper sleep, that's when we start to see the more significant impact on mental health. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm just going to add quick, this past weekend also have a trigger effect. If you already have, say, maybe some mild sleep disorders, and then you have this lovely time change that happens twice a year, does not trigger some severity for a short period of time or something to that effect as well?
Yeah, absolutely. When sleep is interrupted, so again, I've talked about quantity and quality. Yeah, when you lose an hour of sleep, so to speak, yes, absolutely impacts are, if you think about it, why today are there so many crashes? Because people they lost an hour of sleep. I don't know about you, but when I woke up this morning at my normal time, that was an hour earlier, it's like, how are you feeling this morning? Well, I'm feeling like I think most everybody else is that had to spring ahead this weekend, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. Just getting your body back into the rhythm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I had butt-dragging-itis syndrome this morning.
John always has butt draggingitis.
Yes, call it that, but I was going to say, so that is definitely, as I mentioned earlier, some daytime drowsiness and sleepiness.
Sure.
That definitely is a symptom of sleep apnea for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I say. I strongly suspect that I had it when I couldn't drive a significant length of time without getting drowsy during the day, especially with my diet of coffee and donuts.
Sugar and caffeine. That'll keep
you. Yeah, it was. I mean, I got concerned because driving was part of my job, and I knew I wasn't doing it safely, and I couldn't be productive. If I was getting paid by the mile, my God, how in the heck can you be productive driving an hour or two and then having to pull over for a nap? Just
yeah, exactly.
So I'm afraid a lot of truck drivers drive tired.
I would agree, especially. Yeah. Again, going back to the numbers that we have discussed for individuals that are afflicted with sleep apnea and then the undiagnosed percentage. Absolutely, I would agree with that statement, Chris.
Yeah, it's just huge. But what's Sleep Smart about? And how can they, because the reason I'm so excited to have you on the show is that there is help out there. And yes. Sleep Smart is one of the ways that we can help, or there is help available. Can you describe that?
Absolutely. Sure. Realizing that sleep health is incredibly important, not only to an individual, but the safety and as well within an organization. We've designed this program. It's a virtual sleep clinic for Canada's workforce is what it is.
Sorry, stop there. Why is a virtual sleep clinic so much better than the way I was originally diagnosed here in Ontario?
Yeah, the reason we designed the program to be virtual is because the current patient path today, depending where you live in Canada, the process can be anywhere from 4 to even 10 months, depending where you live.
Wow.
So the normal process...
Sorry, you got to stress that. 4 to 10 months, depending on where you live.
Yes. 4 to 10 months.
And that's from the time your doctor says, let's arrange a sleep test.
Yes. So that's from the time you make an appointment with your GP. Then you take time off work, go see your GP. Then your GP speaks to you, refers you to a sleep physician. Then you have to wait for the referral. Then you have to wait for that appointment. Then you have to take more time off work, go see the sleep physician. Wow. The sleep physician will recommend a sleep test, whether that's in lab or at home. If it's in lab, then you have to wait, make an appointment, go sleep somewhere else, not in your own bed, and you are observed and tested while doing that. If it's a home sleep test, then you have to go pick up the sleep test, administer the test, then you have to go back, take the test back, then you have to wait for the results to be interpreted. Then you have another appointment with that sleep physician. If you do, in fact, have sleep apnea, they will write a prescription. Then you have to make another appointment at a clinic to go be set up for your therapy. So that is why the process from beginning to end, 4 to 10 months, depending where you live, how much time off work, how much time sitting around in a doctor's waiting room, potentially going overnight to sleep somewhere. And our program, we've designed virtual so that it is highly accessible, really easy to use. And individuals that go through our program, if they do in fact have sleep apnea, they can be screened to therapy within 7 to 15 days. And our program includes an independent consultation with an accredited sleep physician within their various provinces where they are governed by their academies. And as well, we have a sleep coach as part of our program as well.
I can now understand why 80% go undiagnosed, because it's like, I haven't got enough time in the week or the day or the year to spend dealing with this. I'll just keep driving and hope it goes away.
Don, I can tell you that after I went to my doctor, and the time my doctor said, okay, because I self-diagnosed myself, and he said, why do you think you have sleep apnea? I went through all the different signs, and he went, oh, why do you know so much? I said, I'm a safety guy in trucking.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to know about this stuff. And I got all the signs. So anyways, from the time that appointment happened, and they sped me through because I had an AZ license, class one, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
And they sped me through, and it took 4 months and two sleep things in the sleep lab, two nights in the sleep lab, and 4 months before I got my CPAP machine.
Wow.
What? And I'm happy to say that Sleep Smart has tackled that problem.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's huge. Anyways, yeah. Daphne, carry on, please, because I'm really excited. No, I am.
So the way that we are able to eliminate all of this time, effort, time off work is the way that we've designed our program. So how our program works is an individual will fill out a screening questionnaire. It's a 9-question questionnaire. It takes about, I don't know, 90 seconds. What would you say, Chris? How long did it take you to fill it out? I know it took me about 90 seconds to fill it out.
For our listeners and viewers, I did get retested. So I went to a sleep clinic many years ago, about 10, and got diagnosed. And I happily lost some weight over the years. And so I begged Daphne to include me, even though when I did, yes, 90 seconds, I would agree with you. It wasn't long. What did you say, 9 questions?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not even many questions. They're pretty easy questions. So maybe 90 seconds. And I didn't trigger the whatever you call it. What would you call it?
A consult with a sleep coach is what I would call it. So, yeah. Depending how you answer your questions from a potential risk level. So in Chris's case, he came back low. So for all intents and purposes, for the way our program works, we would want every employee within an organization to take this 90-second questionnaire. Those individuals that fall into the low-risk category, for all intents and purposes, they've completed their part of our program.
Cool.
Individuals that fall into a medium to high risk potential for sleep apnea will be prompted to book a virtual consult with a sleep coach, so a respiratory therapist. And then you will meet with that individual, go over your results of the questionnaire that you completed. And then if the sleep coach thinks that a home sleep study would be required, one will be sent to your home. They'll go through how you administer it. And maybe at this point, Chris, I'll let you jump in and talk about how easy it was for you to administer the home sleep test.
I thought it was funny. A couple of things. First of all, the box is like tiny. If anybody's been through an actual sleep study, I'll put a picture on here of me the original time I went for my sleep study. But look at this. It is nothing more than, it's a little bit bigger than my watch, and there is one pad that goes somewhere, I forget exactly, but the instructions were quite clear where to put the pad, just one, and I emphasize that. And then we have a little, I don't know, what do you call this, a finger coat? No. But
yeah. Clip? It's not even a clip. I don't know what the proper medical term for that.
I know it's an oxygen sensor, and you put it on a finger. Anyway, this is it. Three lousy pieces compared to the picture I just posted. And I'm happy to say my results came back that I no longer have sleep apnea. And I attribute that mostly to losing a bit of weight, because I'm down about 20 pounds from 20, 25 pounds from when I had sleep apnea.
I bet you eat better.
Sometimes. I'm married to an Italian, so that pasta tastes good, but it's not good for my waistline.
Nothing like the 2-for-1 hot dogs I had for lunch today.
Yeah, but that's it. Look at it's.
Could that device, can it be used more than once?
That is, no, it's a one-time use device.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I'm laughing because I emailed Daphne. I said, Daphne, I didn't get the return address. Where do I send this thing back?
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's a one-time use. I'm like,
Because what I was wondering is if you had like a couple, so like myself, my wife, and maybe we want to get tested, could that I use that device one night or whatever, and then could she use it another night to record, or would we have to have two separate devices?
You know what? I have not been asked that question. So I know it's a single use because we send them to somebody. Yeah. And then once, as Chris, once you wake up, you press complete and the data is uploaded to be interpreted by the sleep physician. So I will need to get back to you because I am not sure that it can be used again for an individual in the same household. That's a great question.
The only thing you would have to do is a new sticky pad for the the part that goes here is what I'm thinking, because everything else. But and I did leave out one component. You do download a cell phone app, and I know it's available on both Android and iPhone. So you download the app, you Bluetooth it to the device I showed you, and that's how the information gets back to SleepSmart for analysis. And then what happens? Once you get the analysis, tell us what happens, or you can speak specifically of my case. Or, and I repeat, she's not disclosing anything that I haven't given her permission to publicly disclose if she goes there.
Right. So, yes, the process would be the same as what you experienced, Chris. So once you have completed the home sleep test, you will have a consult with the sleep coach. So it will be, again, after the questionnaire, you would have met with a sleep coach. The sleep coach, after the home sleep test, will go through the results. And again, if the results indicate that there is sleep apnea is present or anything else, then there will be a virtual consult with an independent sleep physician. That individual, if they think that you need a prescription, they will, in conjunction with your GP, you'll receive a prescription for therapy, and then you'll go back to that sleep coach, and that sleep coach will work with you to be set up on the proper therapy that you require. And again, depending on the way an individual's face structure is, which masks will be the most effective for that individual. And then as well, that sleep coach will be checking in with you at 2 weeks and 4 weeks. That being said, if you need help on day two, that sleep coach is available for you for the lifetime that you're in the program as well.
Cool.
Yes.
So to recap, instead of waiting 4 to 10 months for your physician to send you and get tested and all that kind of, you can do it in about a week.
Yes. 7 to 15 days. Yeah.
Wow.
You're saving lives is what it comes down to.
And it's very easy. Like, I could do it in the truck if that were the case, or if I'm home that weekend, I could do it at home, wherever your most comfortable spot is. Sign up for it, do the online questionnaire, find out what next steps we need to do. And if we need to, you ship that device to home and I throw it in the truck with me, I load the app and away I go. Yes. So I might be getting ahead of myself here, but I'm just curious, if a motor carrier is interested in doing something like this with all their drivers and stuff, what kind of, I'm not looking for an exact number, but what kind of ballpark fees would we be looking at for an individual basis or something? Like, how does that work? Or is it based on certain stages?
No. So there are, definitely from a program administration fee, depending on the size of an organization, it's a tiered pricing system, but it's incredibly minimal. Depending on the size of an organization.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, reach out to Daphne. That's fair. Because depending on the size of the fleet and everything else, it's complicated. Reach out to Daphne. She'll walk you through. You don't pay anything to reach out to Daphne. So you get all the information.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. And I am. So the home sleep test, that has a $199 fee associated with it.
Cool.
So that covers the device itself, the shipping to the individual's home, and then the interpretation by the sleep physician of the data. That's included in that fee.
Yep.
And depending on an organization's health benefit plan, that may or may not be covered. And then the actual therapy setup itself, again, specific to the benefit plan that organization uses, but 70 to 100% of therapy will typically be covered. And that includes the setup itself initially, and then the replenishment supplies for the lifetime. So another great feature of our program, twofold. is there's preferred pricing as well. So individuals that have undiagnosed and untreated sleep apnea utilize a company's healthcare benefits at 2.1 times the rate of an individual that either doesn't have sleep apnea or has sleep apnea and is being treated. The benefit utilization that an organization is significant depending on the number of employees within your organization from a bottom line perspective. Program, there's preferred pricing. So the again, for the lifetime that an individual is on the program, and this applies to any individuals that already might be on therapy. So again, depending on the size of your organization, immediately savings will be noticed as a result of our program. And you brought up a good point about a spouse. So if you do have a partner that is utilizing that organization's benefits as well, that discount too applies.
Sure. I'm just sitting here. One of the biggest things here, regardless of the your health benefits program, and I've had this from several people, Chris as well, my one employee, a very good friend of mine and another friend of mine have all had sleep apnea, and they're all on, other than Chris now, he's cured, I have to admit. But these guys are still using machine. And I have to admit, one of the things that's been huge to them is lifestyle. It has changed their lifestyle. Their life has changed. So to me, regardless of the health plan program, the health benefits are huge. And I love the fact that this program is not invasive.
Yeah. John, one of the reasons I think I don't have sleep apnea anymore is because I used a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
Because before being diagnosed, I was tired. I never wanted to work out. I didn't have the discipline to eat properly, to do a little workout, to go for a walk. But after I started getting 8, 7, 6 hours of real restful sleep, all of a sudden I did have a little more energy. And I was, it's easier to be disciplined when you're not bloody tired all the time. Yes. And it's easier to go for a walk and do some of the things they should be doing. It's just life became better for me after I got on my CPAP machine.
Yep.
And I really believe that is one of the ways I was able to lose some weight. And I'm happy to say I don't need it anymore, but I got to keep the weight off, I believe. Sure. And I may need it again as I continue to age, because who knows?
But you do bring up a good point, Chris, and it's something that I too recommend with organizations with whom we partner, exactly that. Our health changes as we age. So today, when you did the quick questionnaire in 90 seconds, I do recommend that something that's completed every annually or every 2 years, because again, your health does change as you age. It might not be something today, but it could be down the line. And when I talked about all of the increase, the diabetes, the blood pressure, the 3 times risk of stroke, didn't even get into the statistics in regard to workplace accidents and fatal workplace accidents, because those numbers are significant as well.
Yeah. But you did talk about more collisions. What, you had a stat for that, did you not? What was that?
Yes. 5 times the rate of an individual. So yeah, 5 times the crash rate. It is that significant.
If a trucking safety department wants to help reduce their crashes, they should look. This is one of the many things that you should be looking at. So, yes. Daphne, as we wrap this show up.
Pardon me?
I said, as we wrap this show up, this episode. Yes. Yeah. What else does somebody need to know about either Daphne or about Sleep Smart?
I would say that if you have any questions, I would love for you to reach out to me, and I would love to have a conversation in further detail about how Sleep Smart can partner with your organization. And we can, again, as I said, improve health and wellness within individuals, as well as reinforce the continuous improvement in a safety culture. Cool. So I believe at the end, Chris, you'll have, so our website will be posted and
in the show notes down below.
Okay, perfect.
Daphne's contact info and the Sleep Smart website link is right there. So please reach out to Daphne. I'm excited about this because, and I'm sure John is too, we are safety professionals. And I, having had sleep apnea myself, I know how it affects drivers and how it affects my driving. So I'm excited that there's a much more reasonable, From a cost perspective, I believe it's more reasonable, but mainly the time frame involved is much more reasonable. I think this is a huge step forward for trucking safety. But who in the hell am I?
And again, time is money, right? So you don't need, as an employee, you don't want to be out of your truck missing your driving hours because you need to make money.
John said, you can have you can have this mailed to your house, pick it up, throw it into your truck, and while you're still making money, do the test. You don't miss a beat. Not like when I did it, I had to spend two nights in a sleep clinic.
Right.
Gosh darn. Exactly. Anyways, Daphne.
Yes. Now,
if you can't tell, I'm really excited about this because I really believe it is something that can really help truck drivers and their health. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Yes, appreciate it.
Yes, and again, so excited to have been with you today. And please, any questions, just reach out to me.
Excellent.
Daphne's contact info is in the show notes down below.
I know you can tell I'm actually very excited about this new product that's available for trucking companies to help them assess their drivers as well as everybody in the office. It's really an easy way to analyze your fleet and see if you can see how many people SleepSmart can help. So I really do encourage you to reach out to SleepSmart and Daphne, and their contact info is in the show notes down below. Please, for everyone's safety, check it out. All right. That's it for this week. Thank you all so much for being here for the week. This is the Trucking Risk and Insurance Podcast, and John and I will join you again next week.